You're listening to the Hope Shot Recovery Podcast.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Hope Shot.
The Hope Shot Clarity Statement. We here at the Hope Shot are a group of people in recovery spreading inspiration. We come from all different walks of life and pathways of recovery. Our verbiage may be different at times, but we all have one thing in common. Recovery is a lifestyle. We support all pathways of recovery. It doesn't matter how you get from A to Z, just get there. And thank you for being a part of our Hope Shot family. So how's everybody doing tonight? Well, I just got back in town from vacation and I am well rested and I feel fantastic and it was much needed. And oh man, I feel like $1 million. I'm really happy to be back on. So it's really good to see everybody's faces. I checked out and went to a cabin on a mountain with almost no Wi-Fi, no connection, very little cell service, and it is exactly what I needed just to unplug for a little while.
Mine was simple, man. It was simple, but a lot of family, a lot of rest, a lot of surfing.
Nice. I mean,
yeah. It just happened that as soon as we went on vacation, that two cold fronts came in back to back. So there was plenty of waves right here on this coast. So I took full advantage. I went surfing four times last week. So yeah, it's been a cool little holiday and a lot of, like I said, a lot of family, a lot of connection, and it's just simple though. Nothing crazy. Yeah. It was like you said, Caesar, is exactly what I needed this year. Last year was a little more hectic.
Yeah. The second day we were there, it started snowing and
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. It snowed for 2 days straight. And I didn't realize that we were talking to some people there and they're like, this is the first snow we've gotten all year. So
wow.
The time that you showed up, it just started snowing. It snowed all night. We woke up and everything was just white and beautiful. And it was just awesome. We went to this big retreat facility. I'm probably saying this wrong. It was an Ayurvedic retreat center at the top of a mountain. And we got massages, and at this big retreat center, they own 300 acres at the top of a mountain, and they've got like meditation things. I don't know what you exactly call it, but they have like these big spiritual centers and meditation rooms, and they've got little apartments and stuff, and you can go for a week-long retreat. We just went up there to go get some sweet massages, but now that we've seen it, I'm like, ooh, we got to go back there and do an actual like week-long retreat. It's incredible. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen at the top of a mountain.
Caesar and Nader bragging about going off and Caesar's doing like ayahuasca out in Mount Kilimanjaro and Nate's out surfing. Meanwhile, I'm just here surfing my bed sheets and comforter for a couple of days, taking it easy.
Today's a special day though for you, boy. Today's 1 year.
Yeah.
1 year anniversary.
Yay.
Well, everybody talking about vacations. I went on vacation and got sick. I was sick the whole time. Sick. Yeah, it was horrible. I hope you guys had a great end of last year, Christmas. We've been kind of MIA, just trying to take a break. We need that break sometimes. And that's this part of self-care is taking that break and going on vacation and being with family and not doing the do's of daily life. And even though I was sick, man, I could sit here and cry about, I had all these plans and expectations and all this, and it sucked.
God hit the brakes for you, bro. You were going too fast.
Yeah, I guess, man. I was going 150 miles an hour. Got a speeding ticket, got pulled over, put in jail, and it knocked me on my ass and the kids, and Jace is still messed up, but you know, we need that slowdown. And I haven't been sick in a long time, and I had a fever 3 days nonstop, like shivering like I was naked in Alaska. That's the only thing I think about it. Just naked in Alaska sounds like something on A&E.
Naked and afraid,
there it is.
I'll be trying to burn that image out of my brain. Thanks.
You're welcome. Anytime, Rudolph. Happy 1 year. Tonight's topic, we're going to talk about the new year, new me, and what that causes in our psyche, you know, like, because we put these expectations on what the next day of doing all these activities and you're getting, you know, crunked on sugar and family and all these things. And Christmas is stressful, really is. And then we're going to make these huge accomplished goals. right off rip. And it really sets you back a little bit, because if we don't fulfill what we decide to do that next day, then what does that look like? And I know what it looks like for me, and I've tried New Year's resolutions, but they do work too. You just have to be in the right mindset. But when that comes is when it comes. You know, today is my 2 years no smoking cigarettes. Two years today. And that was a New Year's resolution of mine, to stop smoking cigarettes. And I accomplished it. But you know how many times I've tried and tried and tried, and it never came to fruition? And I used to beat myself up when I didn't follow through with those goals. And sometimes it's like unrealistic expectations. I'm sitting here trying to get clean and not drink or whatever that looks like, and then I'm going to throw not smoking on it. Come on, like, calm down. Let's one thing at a time.
So you quit smoking on New Year's Day and you got sober on New Year's Day. That's some pretty big boy New Year, New Me stuff going on right there. Successful New Year, New Me stuff.
But how many times, that's what I'm saying, and how many times does it take? Because sometimes it doesn't stick that first time, and we can't beat ourselves up going into this thing. And it's okay, man. Try again tomorrow.
I don't know exactly where you wanted to go with this, but the New Year, New Me thing, as I stated at the beginning of the show, I've never really done that. But I do look at the beginning of the year as an opportunity to set things in place. Now, in the past, I never did a New Year's resolution because I knew that there was no shot that I was going to live up to any of it. When I was actively using and all of those things that come with that, I knew better than to say, I'm going to quit drinking January 1st, because I was not going to quit drinking on January 1st. I wasn't going to quit anything on January 1st. But I like the way you spun it. New year, new me, or is it? I don't want to set myself up for disappointment, but I do want to have goals. So I try to set small, maintainable changes in my life, if that makes any sense. So we were talking about Apple Watch stuff, and I was talking to my coach tonight, trying to increase my cardio on a daily basis, not just lift weights to lift weights for vanity, but do stuff for my heart to make me last a little bit longer and be a little bit healthier. And it's like anything in life. If you set these little goals that are achievable instead of setting one gigantic goal that is all or nothing, it's a lot more attainable. So I like to take these little baby steps, and then I keep moving up and I keep moving in the right direction. And I try not to set myself up for failure with a giant all or nothing thing, like I'm going to lose 50 pounds by this day, and you give yourself that hard line. And then if you don't hit it, you're like, oh my God, I failed. I didn't do it. And then you start carrying in the guilt and shame and all the negative thoughts that kind of come with that. So I'd keep my perspective in one of just continued slow growth, maintainable. Not easy, but maintainable and attainable. So for me, hold on one second, guys. Hold on. Sorry, there's a party going on upstairs and I wasn't
impressed.
It's just like when I first got into recovery, I looked at the people that had 10 years, 15 years, and I wanted to be like them immediately. And that's not the way that works. I'm not going to be like them spiritually. I'm not going to be like them financially. I'm not going to have any of those things overnight. It took time and it took small steps in the right direction every single day. And the new year goals, for me, they shouldn't be any different. They have to be something that is not so unattainable or not so drastic that I put myself in a position where if I don't do it, that I feel like crap about myself. We talk about our recovery all the time, and I always want to spin it back to that, because weight loss goals are great. This is great. That's great. Financial goals are great. But we're on here to talk about recovery. If you're looking at your recovery goals and you've got somewhere you want to be, you want to have a job within 30 days, don't put the time limit on that. Leave it open-ended as my goal is to get a job. Period, not a job in this many days. So you don't set yourself up for disappointment. If your goal is to get your kids back, just don't put the date on there. Hey, I'm going to work towards this year, new year, new me. I'm going to work towards getting my kids back. That's the goal. Not I'm going to get my kids back. I'm going to work towards getting my kids back. I want to get my license back. I'm going to get my license back. No, I'm going to work towards getting my license back. And if we're always moving in the right direction, we're always growing and we're getting better, as opposed to setting ourselves up for disappointment when that deadline comes and we didn't meet it. It's just another thing that we can throw on our back and go, oh, I knew I wouldn't do that. I'm a piece of shit. You don't want to set yourself up to feel bad about yourself again when we're just getting out of the pit that we were in of addiction. Just get making our some headway and feeling good about ourselves. So put some thought into where you want to go and be kind to yourself. Don't set a hard deadline. Just set an open-ended goal of where you want to go. And if you keep taking the small steps forward, you'll be shocked. When you look back, you'll realize you're halfway up the mountain already and you don't even realize it. So that's my two cents on that.
Yeah, I like that, Caesar. And it's mostly, what do you even set a day goal? It's not a day goal. It's a year goal. We work towards it. We're working toward an actual goal that we want to achieve. And just because you set it on the first that you're going to do it, it doesn't have to be like, it's okay. We fumble. If we're perfect, we wouldn't be here.
So that's like me saying, it's a bad example, but I'm going to say it anyway. I want to lose 50 pounds this year, which obviously I'm not going to lose 50 pounds, but
please don't.
That's the goal. And if you say, I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year and you lose 49 pounds at the end of the year and you're at the next new year, is that a loss really? But because you put the number on it, I didn't achieve my goal. It's awful. Shit, it's 49 pounds. How is that awful? But if you just leave it open-ended and say, I want to be healthier and I want to lose weight this year, and you don't stick that hard line on there of it has to be 50 pounds, then when you get to the end of the year and you lost 49 pounds, you're like, man, I absolutely killed it. And it goes right back to being a perspective thing. So don't paint yourself into a box. Leave it open-ended and just look for progress towards your goal, as opposed to always meeting that finish line of the goal.
Hmm. Love it. And these goals is a constant work, because I'll tell you right now, when I quit smoking 2 years ago,
Justin.
All right. 2 years ago, I quit smoking because I said, you know what? I'm just tired of it. I'm a slave to my back porch. That's what I was. I was a slave to my back porch because vaping has never been my thing, really. I don't know. I'm all in or all out. It's either I do freaking heroin or I'm in recovery, but that's just what it is. Just what it is. I'm not an occasional drinker. I'm not an occasional pothead. I'm not an occasional anything. So the smoking, I was really, it was making me a slave to my back porch. And I'd sit out there for hours and lose a lot of time and enjoy activities and stuff like that. Like, I'm going outside for smoking when I'm eating dinner. And I've done that multiple times too, on New Year's Eve or whenever, any time. And I never could get it. And I always said, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to. So no, I did not do it cold turkey. I did it with vape. Okay. I know, since I don't really like vape, I used it like Suboxone. You know what I mean? It was my Suboxone. I used it for dosing down on nicotine. I didn't do the salt nick because you can't really dose down on that. So I used the drip. They would give you the 6. Then I'd start at 6 and then I went to 3 and then I went to 1.5 and then I was done. And it worked. I did it all the way up till I'd said I wanted to be done by my 40th birthday. That was my goal in my head. And once you put it into your head, you got to psych yourself out of these things that, like, I don't know. I don't know why it clicked this time, but I said I want to quit smoking before my 40th birthday. New Year's Eve was my first. It's the New Year's Day was the quit cigarettes. And then I dosed myself down till the night before my birthday and I stuck with it. And it clicked. And I haven't done any nicotine since I turned 40. Now everybody knows my freaking age. <Just kidding. Ew. laughs> Those little things that freaking work sometimes, man. Sometimes they don't, but I just wanted to not smoke past that, and that's what I did.
Did you set any goals for this year?
Me?
Yeah, you.
I always have goals. Yes. All right, I'll share my goals. Okay.
Tell us what you got.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys pick words for your what your word is for the year to focus on that like coincides with your goal. But that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do? Okay. So my goal this year is to be more intentional. Intentional is my word. And I picked a secondary word too, like alignment, because I feel like those two go coincide. But it's to spend more one-on-one time with people. One-on-one. My daughter, all my daughters, my son, my wife, date nights, all these things to have that, I don't know, the moments, right? I get caught up in obsession really bad with work and going. And I just get stuck. And I don't make time for people that want my time. And I'm losing out on time. So I told myself this year, I'm going to start putting some dates together. I'm going to get a calendar out, which I haven't done yet. So it's not, I'm not beating myself up over it either.
It's only the first, bro.
I know. Okay. I know. But, yeah, exactly. This is not just a 1 year event. You know what I mean? This is a lifetime event that I always want to work on, because if you could get that goal worked out that first year, even if you hit a couple little blocks in the road, right? It's a lifetime thing we're working on, not just a small portion. Once you get it, it's done, right? We want this thing to last for lifetime. So I'm going to get a calendar out. I'm going to start putting some days down that says, hey, we're going to maybe switch off this day and we're going to take each other out. And then me and Tiffany are going to do like maybe once a month. I would like to do a date night or some personal one-on-one quality, figuring each other out kind of deal. Because even though we've been married for a while, we've been together for a while, do we really know each other? I don't know. Or on a deeper level? Because we evolve as people, and in any relationship, even this goes with friends too. So Nate, get ready. And Caesar and Rudolph. But it goes deep, man, when you start having that one-on-one time and not a group of people. A group setting is more like a hangout. When you do that intimate relationship, that freaking one-on-one time, to really get to know the person and what they like. And because I really don't know. And I told myself that I wanted to actually obtain the goal this year. And this is, like I said, it's not like a yearly thing, because there's a lot, I have a lot of friends too. It's hard. But it's me trying to make an effort to work towards that. One thing I want me to be a better person, because I isolate too. I'll isolate from people. And even though like I'm on this thing and doing that, and we think we're okay with social media and we're so social, it is not. It is the farthest from the truth. It is a fantasy. And we get stuck in that. And we think we're social. But really, man, we are hermits and we're isolating. And it's a mental void that we're creating for ourselves. And I notice it myself. So that's why I say, yes, this is my goal for this year, is to make more intimate relationships with my friends and the people I care about, so I can know who they are, what they like, and then be more intentional with, I don't know, birthdays, holidays, you name it, man. Phone calls, just, yeah, that's my thing for this year.
I do the words thing too. That's funny. I didn't know you did that.
Oh, yeah.
Mine was balance and boundaries, because we're a lot alike. I'll grab a hold of work and I'll shut everything else out except for work. And then I get blinders on. It's work, go to the gym, come home, go to bed, work. Go to the gym. Come home. Yes. Go to bed. Work. Go to
robotic.
The gym. And the kids are robotic. Like, kids are like, hey, I'm like, yeah. Dinner, whatever. Hold on, let me finish this email. And then, oh yeah. Just let me do this. And I'm stuck on my phone, still working, 4 hours after I got home from work, and I'm not giving anybody any of my attention. So balance and boundaries. Balance between the work life and the home life, and the gym life, because I go crazy with that too. And setting some boundaries with work ends at a certain time, and I'm not taking any more phone calls, and I'm not returning any more emails, because I doubt any of the people emailing me are expecting an immediate response at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. And I can glance at it and go, okay, nothing's on fire, I will move on. if it's on fire, fine, I'll respond. Literally, we left the dumpster over at the beach for a roofing project, and someone shot a firework in it, and it was actually on fire this a few days ago. I got that email and I'm like, hey, we're not over there working, so you're gonna have to call your local fire department. I'm in North Carolina.
Rudolph, man, what's going on, man? What's your word this year? What you focusing on, man?
Growth in general, because that just engulfs everything that I want to do. I'm at the end of year one, and I actually had a conversation with a member of my church the other morning, and she made a comment. And she was like, we were talking to somebody else in the group, and she said to the other person, she was like, you should have seen Rudolph when he first came in and started coming around like a year ago. You think he's goofy or like out, just outlandish now? Like, you should have, like, he's toned down a lot. Like, and that's a church. Like, I never even saw myself going into a church. That was a huge step by itself. I was baptized the same day that I was like, all right, this is it for me. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to do any drugs anymore. Like, I'm done. And so much has happened in the last year. I almost feel like it's surreal. Like, I just never expected it. It, to me, it just came out of nowhere. And because of that fact, I didn't have really a set goal or plan for it to play out. I really just had to put everything in God's hands and just be like, all right, so I'm going to get up this morning. I'm going to put on my shoes. I don't know what I'm going to do from there. I just started learning. I didn't have really direction. Most of this stuff started for me digitally, and I'm a big tech person, and that's how I came into it. I was bored. I was going out of my mind. I was like, I got nothing to do, nowhere to go. Like, I got to do something. So I just started YouTube and stuff. Eventually, I found Hope Shot and was like, oh, there's other people in the area that are doing this and or succeeding at it. I want to be like that. And I didn't even start going to recovery meetings or anything like in person until probably about 2 or 3 months ago. And growth is just it's the only direction for me to go, because I know there's so much more that I want to learn, whether it's in the recovery meetings and stuff. Like, I was so against all that. And there were so many things that I was against pretty much all of last year up until recently. And it was just a matter of being willing to grow and being willing to hear what my faults were and have people say, this is something that you're doing that probably not the smartest thing for you to be doing, or you should be doing more of this. And it took a lot of that guidance that came from some of you, from my mom, from my brother. There was a huge, I'm so blessed to have had such a huge group to support me, and not just people in recovery, but I think I just was trying to find connection. Like, I was reaching out. It was a cry for help. And then even after that, even once I knew I was done, I was like, I'm not going to go back to the drugs and the alcohol. There were so many people in this area that saw what was happening and were just so encouraging and empowering, and go do it, you know, do whatever you need to do. And I started learning about drones and cameras and photography. This is something I never imagined learning to do, never really knew I had that much of an interest in. And then I was like, okay, maybe I can make some money doing this. So I started a business doing real estate photography and then eventually video stuff. And it's been a year. I would have been stunned to find out any of this would be possible even within 4 years. And Caesar was talking about driver's license, getting your driver's license, setting a goal, you know, I'm going to get my kid back and all these other things. And I feel like I've surpassed so many of these big goals that I had already set for myself. But now, like, I'm ready for the next thing. There was a post earlier on the Hope Shot about this is your year to mature. Be careful with things that you say, and you're going to be more mindful about this and that. And I really believe that. I believe this is my year for growth and maturity, and there's going to be a lot of things that I want to improve on. I do want to quit with nicotine, vape, smoke. I swore I was going to do it last night. And I was like, I'm going to do it, man. I'm going to fuck this stuff. I'm not doing this anymore. This is lame. And I told everybody about it, too. I was like, you know what? This is, I'm done. And today, I'm still doing it because I was like, I bought the thing. I don't want to waste it. And I'm like, all right, so I'm just going to baby step that down. I'm going to wait till it just sucks and it's bad and it hurts to use it anymore. Like when the vape goes bad and it just tastes terrible. Like I'm just going to let that happen and maybe scar myself into like, I don't want to do it anymore.
I'm on that same page with you. Is it's been in the back of my mind for a while now that I really want to put down the damn vape. And I do all this health stuff and I still got this damn vape in my hand and I'm like, oh God. So I didn't make it a goal, but it needs to be on the table as something to work on this year.
Yeah. That's the other thing for me is I see all your stuff all the time about stuff that you're doing in the gym and working out, everything else. I'm 35 and I've been like this size, like since I was 18. So like, there's not really been much there, but a lot of that was like, just not, a lot of it was shame based, honestly. Like that's where the growth wasn't there, was because I didn't believe that I could get there. Number one. And number two, like, once the alcohol and drugs came into play, like it was over. There was no chance for me to ever grow. But now I'm like, maybe if I wouldn't have spent all those years smoking, and maybe if I wouldn't have spent all that time drinking sodas and shit like that beforehand, then maybe it wouldn't have led into some of this other stuff. I mean, some people say caffeine, stimulants, nicotine, maybe that's the gateway drug. There's nothing I can do about it now except understand that I was able to quit drugs and alcohol, and now to be able to put that aside and start focusing on regular everyday things, exercise and things like that, because I'm going to need to exercise carrying around that camera gimbal. And it's not roof work. It's not, you know, by the way, if you're still looking for a mascot, if you can't carry a gimbal, you can't really do much with real estate photography because you can't be shaky. So I definitely want to start working out and getting in better shape, not even just for that, but just for my own sake, because I'm tired of feeling tired all the time. So yeah, my New Year's,
just take a dumbbell, bro, and just run around, dude, just like this.
I thought about it. I was like, either that or like a shake weight, but I don't want to be running around the streets.
Hey, you know, anytime you want to join me, you got my phone number. You just hit me up or hit Nathan up. Nathan's in the gym every day. Either one of us would be happy to bring you along and get you started at least.
Cool. I'm definitely looking at that. I appreciate it very much. And as long as I don't wind up on the cover of Mad Magazine the next day or something, Caesar's memes. And
you're going to. It's happening. What do you mean?
Listen.
It's happening.
I would never do it in that context, but everything outside of that gym is fair game.
I swear I was holding a dumbbell in that picture.
It's not a dumbbell now.
Hey, and now on that smoking, vaping, nicotine thing, I didn't think I was ever going to quit it either, ever. I didn't think I was going to ever quit it because it was the last thing I had. So I held on to that thing so much because it was the only thing I had left that was like, I don't know. Like I was like to grieve everything. I was grieving all this stuff that I lost. That I thought I lost. I had that in my mind, that mindset. It's like, this is the last thing I have to give up. It's the only thing I got left because I gave up drugs and alcohol. I'm telling you, this is the sick thinking and it's the truth. We put this thing in our head. It's like, this is the only thing I got. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if anybody else does that, but that was me, man. Like, I didn't have anything else left. And this is the only thing that would, like, give me relief from stress. And now I actually have to deal with it. You know? You know, as it comes. Can't go smoke a vape. Can't go smoke a cigarette because I don't want to, you know? So it comes, man, over time. One thing at a time. So. Anyways, man. Well, hey, Rudolph, thanks for coming on tonight, dude.
Yeah, no, congratulations
on your year.
Glad to be here.
I was like, let's go pop his cherry for that 1 year.
Yay. Yeah. had me running around everywhere. I went to Best Buy and Walmart, like, on the way home. I was like, I got to start getting set up. And then I get home and, like, none of it works. So I'm like, all right, here comes phone.
I thought you were techie, bro.
I am techie.
Caffeine is not on the table as something I'm giving up.
No. You calm down. Get that off there. What are you doing? It's
not on the table. I rebuke me.
Yeah. Get out of here, devil. Nate's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Justin chastised me for bad camera angles earlier, so I'm trying to make sure.
Bro, it's all about the angles, bro. The angles are important.
Angles and lighting. Yeah. So anyway, this is a cool topic, man. It's cool what happened this morning is I woke up, did all my normal prayer, meditation, readings, and everything. It's funny how that type of stuff, when you're plugged in and aligned with your source, how kind of whatever you're going through in that time, whatever time of the year it is, it always aligns. And that's what happened for me today. And I woke up feeling confident, safe, secure, spiritual, aligned. And what happened is I got a phone call from a kid I grew up with. We had helped facilitate him into a sober living a few months back, and he didn't work out, and he's been on the streets and running around and running and gunning ever since. And he called me this morning saying, look, I'm finally going to treatment, which he did. That was at 7:30 this morning. And then I get another call from the guy I used to sponsor who just went to detox. And then I get another call from one of my employees saying, hey, my good friend I grew up with just went into detox. Can you help him? And I'm like, I'm sure we can. For me, that's all the answer I need right there. What are my goals? What am I supposed to do this year? And that is fit myself to be of maximum service to others, right? What can I do to be in a position just to give this message, to reach out my hand, to be in a position spiritually, mentally, emotionally, to reach somebody that can't be reached? And I just like so much good stuff shared today. I love hearing from Rudolph's perspective too in that first year, and like how all the exponential change that occurs in that first year. And I'm here to tell you like that doesn't stop. It changes. The outfit might change, like it might look different on the outside, but that may I always have those that transformative year, or I'm becoming stagnant. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Because if I'm not challenging myself to grow, I'm regressing. Especially this disease is cunning and baffling. If I'm not staying on top of this thing and staying busy and prioritizing recovery and God and service, then I'm in trouble. And I feel this year for me coming up, it's like it's come up like several times in the last couple of weeks, but emotional sobriety, because the obsession from alcohol and drugs are miraculously lifted, right? And boom, we discover that, oh, that was the least of our problems. I'm a bloody mess, man. I have all these emotional hangups. I have all these insecurities. I have all these fears that have absolutely nothing to do with substance at this point. I've been sober nearly 6 years. And so, like, how do I get to that next level? How do I start not letting external circumstances dictate how I feel? How do I accept things that I cannot change? You know, we say the serenity prayer on a daily basis, or hopefully we hear it quite often. But how do I internalize that? How do I really accept the things that I cannot change? Because I might eventually accept them, but they fuck me up when I'm in the process. And how do I get to a point where pain doesn't have to be the great persuader? You know what I mean? Everybody's saying pain is the greatest motivator. How do I get to that point where I don't need that pain? I have enough awareness. I have enough spiritual connection. I'm aligned enough to understand, to read the signs, to feel the gentle nudge from my higher power within to shift when I'm going in the wrong direction. That's really what I'm aiming for this year, is to become emotionally sober, because that for me is where I'm at in my journey is probably what I struggle with the most. A lot of change this year for me, a lot of transition. I'm still catching up. I haven't gotten it all right. But at the end of the day, one thing I know I've done right is I showed up for my program. I prioritize God. I prioritize service. I do all the things that I need to do on a daily basis to keep me in a position to grow in the first place. Because if I am not staying busy in my program, I am not even in a position to evolve. I want to put myself daily in a position to not only have the space to grow, but to have that conscious contact with my higher power. Because for me, that's the most important relationship I need to have today. With that relationship intact, I'm able to carry on relationships in my personal life and in recovery and business with a little more integrity, with a little bit more compassion. Because if I truly have a working relationship with my higher power, then I truly understand grace and forgiveness, because I know who I am. I know where I've come from. And if this power can forgive me, if this power can give me grace, and if this power can open up these doors for me to experience, like Rudolph was saying, it's surreal. Like the life, the things I'm able to experience today, and the blessings that I'm able to receive, and the relationships, the friendships, the love, the family, these things were not in the cards for me. This was not my reality. Danielle and I were talking about this evening about the relationship with my brother. Like a couple months ago, we were about to kill each other. And through applying these spiritual principles in all my affairs, I was able to be humble, take responsibility for my part. And we got to spend the holidays together. We got to go surfing the other day together. This stuff really works if I keep applying it. And that's what I want to do. I just want to keep connecting, keep seeking, keep trying to find God in all the nooks and crannies of my life, because that has been like my greatest revelation this year, is enriching and enlarging my spiritual life. Because with that connection becomes perception. And then if I'm truly able to see what's in front of me, and I cannot help but be grateful. And if I'm living in gratitude, it's very hard to have a difficult day. And I can be more forgiving. I can be more compassionate. I can, and that goes for myself, because Rudolph, you hit the nail on the head, the shame and the stuff like that, that's still, just because I'm sober, I still struggle with that stuff. Self-worth, self-esteem, one little comment, one little whatever, I can get thrown off base real quick. And I have to remember that that I am worthy, that I am able to receive love today. I'm able to give love. And I'm just grateful to be in a position to grow, like I said earlier. And that's what I want to keep doing, is showing up in my program, showing up in my practices to enrich my spiritual life, and to be a good partner, a good stepdad, a good friend, and just super grateful for the opportunity. This is a special day. I never woke up sober on these days. I never woke up clear-minded with like intentions and goals and stuff. What a gift to wake up in a warm bed next to this woman I love, and to go see my dad, and to go have a conversation with my brother, and to be of service and have people calling me asking, how do I do this thing? And being in a position to translate that message, not because I'm some genius or some guru, it's just because somebody showed it to me. So it's my responsibility to do the same back. And that's what I want to continue to do this year. Thank you, guys.
Hey, Nate, so what's your word for the year? Do you have a word?
I didn't really choose one, but I guess upon reflection, yeah, what has came up a bunch has been emotional sobriety, bro. That keeps, someone sent it to me the other day. It was at this New Year's party last night. So it keeps getting brought up, and I don't know what you can get out of that, but I'm sure there's more than one word that I need to focus on in that subject. So,
yeah, no, I love it. I love that emotional sobriety. It definitely is the one that trips us up the most. So I want you to riddle that real quick. I want you to, what do you think about that comment? Anyone?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. That's another subject that's came up a bunch. I have a couple people that Caesar even knows who I'm talking about. I was talking to a friend, and someone that had a bunch of time, went back out, came back in, is back drinking again. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you shouldn't be feeling those things. I feel those things, and I haven't relapsed. I believe that these are normal reactions to relapse, whether you have 10 years, 10 days, whatever. So my advice in these situations is, first of all, give yourself a break, give yourself some grace. And it has, and the time thing is so tricky in the recovery arena. People like idolize, oh, if only if I had this much time, and they don't forget the hopeless, crippling, paralyzing obsession. And just to be free of that for one moment, let alone one day, one week, is a miracle. remember that, like embrace that moment, because here we're talking about New Year's and setting goals. How about one day at a time? Oh, I used to hate that. Oh, one day at a time. This shit was so annoying. But all that is, it's just like a 40 other like religious or denominations. They say the same thing. All it's saying is to be present. Here we are right now. What do we do next? And that's your most important. I think that's what you need to focus on. Who cares how much time you had? Refocus, start over. You didn't lose that time. You still have 10 years experience of recovery.
That's what I was. Yeah. I just unmuted to say that it's not like if I work in the trades for 10 years and then I quit being an electrician and I go be a plumber, that I'm no longer an electrician anymore. I got 10 years experience being an electrician. Right. You've got 10 years of like being sober and 10 years of experience to draw on to be able to go, okay, shit, I know what I need to do to pick myself up and to move forward. I've got 10 years of experience of how to do what I need to do right now in this moment to get my head out of my ass and to get moving forward back in the right direction. And I'm with Nathan. I hate the, I lost all this time. You didn't lose anything. You gained 10 years of experience of doing the right thing, and you can draw on that experience right now in this moment and go, okay, let's turn this ship around and get going in the right direction. Everybody here that's on the screen that's ever relapsed, that's had any little bit of time. I was counting time even when I was incarcerated, man, because even that felt good because I couldn't put together any time out on the streets. But if I had 9 months and I got released and I got that 10th month on my own before I relapsed, oh, I lost all my time. I didn't lose my time, man. Like, I stopped putting things into action. That's what I did. I stopped using the tools that were given to me that I used on a daily basis on how I stayed sober. And as soon as I stopped using those tools, the tools of addiction were very easy to pick back up again. It's easy to relapse. It's hard to keep moving forward on shitty days, during deaths, during all these things that we have to face. It's hard, but it's a lot easier when I'm surrounded by people that are on the same path. So instead of focusing on guilt and shame and the time that you lost, focus on building your network of people that are going to hold you up when you're weak, because that's been the biggest thing, especially early on. I didn't have some kind of epic contact with God or source or any of that stuff. I had people that drug my ass along until I could do it on my own and establish that contact with the God of my understanding.
Thanks, Caesar. Yeah. Quality over quantity. It's always important. Yeah. I hope you guys have a great week. Love y'all. See ya.